Mesechs Kelaim, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph until Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet. After spending 7 Perukim discussing Kelaim of the fields, which includes Klei Zeroyim and Klei Akerem, the 8th Perek will discuss Klei Behema, which is Kelaim involving animals. But before we do that, the Mishnah now summarizes the 4 types of Kelaim. And it starts off with the most stringent of them all, and that is Klei Akerem. Kelaim of a vineyard, Asurim El Zeroya. It's forbidden to plant Kelaim of the field, Umelekayim, and it's also forbidden even to just maintain it in your field. As we have seen a number of times, if you see Kelaim planted in your vineyard, you're obligated to uproot it. Now, although we haven't really seen this so much in the Mishnayos themselves, it's important to know that there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to whether the prohibition of Klei Akerem requires that you plant 2 other species in the vineyard, or that it's enough just to plant 1 species in a vineyard. And that being Kelaim with the vineyard, with the vines, is enough. But be it as it may, as we have seen, v'asurim b'hana'ah, it's forbidden to benefit from Klei Akerem once they've been planted, as the Torah explicitly says, pentikdash hamaleah. The word tikdash meaning that it will become forbidden to benefit from, and because of that you will have to burn that which grows as Klei Akerem. On to number 2, Klei Zeroyim, Kelaim of other seeds, which we discussed in the first 3 Perakim of the Masechta. So this is likewise asurim el Zeroyah u'melekayim, it's forbidden to plant them and even to maintain them in your field. If you see Kelaim growing in your field, you have to uproot them. However, whereas Klei Akerem is forbidden to benefit from, when it comes to Klei Zeroyim u'mutorim ba'achila, it's permitted to eat them u'v'chol shekein b'hana'ah, and all the more so it's permitted to benefit in other ways from the Klei Zeroyim, for example, to sell them. Number 3, Klei V'godim, Kelaim of clothes, and that's more commonly known as shatnas, mixing wool and linen together, matorim b'chol dovar, are permitted in all matters, meaning that you're allowed to even make clothes with wool and linen, and you're allowed to even keep them in your cupboard. The only thing which is forbidden with regards to shatnas is ve'enon asurin enam elilbosh. It's only forbidden to wear them. The Torah says, le silba shatnas. You shall not wear shatnas. That's the only prohibition involved in that type of kelaim. And we'll see in the last perek what exactly is considered wearing it. Is putting it over your shoulder, for example, is that considered wearing it? So we'll see in the final perek. And finally, kelei behema, when it comes to kelaim of animals. And there are 2 types of kelaim of animals. Number 1 is mating 2 different types of animals together. And the second type is making 2 different types of animals work together. But the Mishnah says, Mutorim legadol lekayim, it's permitted to raise them and to keep them, meaning that you could put different types of animals in the same pen, for example. They could sleep together. They could live in the same place. They could do work in the same area. As long as you don't directly mate them or directly make them work together doing the same thing and tying them up, it's permitted. The Enam Asurim Enam Laharbiya, only directly mating them and bringing one animal to the other to mate them together, only that would be forbidden, but to make them live in the same place and allow them to do it themselves, that would be allowed. And of course you are allowed to benefit from an animal which is born as a result of Kelaim. And of course, as we said, it's also forbidden to work the animals together. And the Mishnah ends off by telling us that Kelei Behema Asurim Zeh B'Zeh. Animals born as a result of Kelaim of animals, meaning if 2 different animals were mated together, and the example which the Mefarshim use is when a horse and a donkey are mated together, the result of which is a mule. A mule is the cross between a horse and a donkey, and what the Mishnah is saying is that in determining what the mule is, we follow the mother. And the Mishnah will describe this at more length later on. But if, for example, you have 2 mules, and the first mule, so the father of the mule was a horse, and the mother of the mule was a donkey. But the other mule, it was the other way around. The father was a donkey and the mother was a horse. We would consider the first mule to be a donkey and the second mule to be a horse because we follow the mother and therefore they cannot be mated together. However, if both mules' mothers were horses and both mules' fathers were donkeys, for example, then they could be mated together because we consider both of them to be horses. Mishnah Beis. Now, with regards to working 2 different animals together, the Torah says, L'sachrosh b'shor v'achamor yachtov. You cannot plow using a ox and a donkey together. Can't have them plowing the same thing at the same time. The point of our mission is to show that this is not just applied to an ox or a donkey. Rather, the Torah just talked about those because that's the most common animal to be used to plow a field. But it would really apply to any 2 kinds of animals, and therefore behema in behema, a domesticated animal with another domesticated animal, which is a different kind, v'chaya in chaya, an undomesticated animal with another undomesticated animal, behema in chaya, v'chaya in behema, a male behema with a female chaya, or a male chaya with a female behema. And as well as this, you may have thought that the reason why the Torah picked those 2 animals, the ox and the donkey, is because one of them is kosher, one of them is not kosher. The ox is a kosher animal, and the donkey is a non-kosher animal. So you might have thought that kelaim of animals is only forbidden if one of them is kosher, one of them is not kosher. Only then is it considered to be a mix. So the Mishnah says no. Again, the reason why it picked those two animals is just because they're common animals. But really, it would apply to any animals, tameirim to hemeir, a non-kosher animal with another non-kosher animal, tameirim to hera, a pure kosher animal with another kosher animal, tameirim to hera, tameirim to meir, a male non-kosher animal with a female kosher animal, or a male kosher animal with a female non-kosher animal. They all come under the prohibition, asurin lachresh. They are forbidden to plow together. That's the type of work which is mentioned explicitly by the Pasuk. But again, that's also an example of just a common type of work. But any work would be forbidden for them to do it together. So for example, v'limshoich, pulling, if the animals are going to pull either a wagon or something else together, that would also be forbidden, or lahanheg, or just for the owner to lead them together and tie them up for them to walk together. Again, that is also forbidden, and the example of the animals and the example of the form of work which the Torah gives is just a common example, but it is not limited to those. And by the way, some interpret pulling and leading not to be forms of work, but rather how the owner leads the animals. So either that he pulls them by a leash, or that the animal goes in front of them and he sort of prods them along. The point is, you cannot allow two animals to either work or even walk together while they are tied up. Mishnah Gimel, the most common punishment for committing a sin in the Torah is malchus, to receive lashes, and the Torah says that if you commit an avera, and the Mishnah Masechta the Makkos discuss which averas are or are not included in the punishment of lashes, but be it as it may, the Torah says that one should receive 40 lashes for doing the avera. But the truth is, it's learned from the Pasuk there, we interpret it to actually mean 39 lashes. But since the Torah says 40 lashes, or at least it appears to say 40 lashes, so when the Mishnah refers to somebody receiving lashes, it often says he gets 40, even though the maximum amount he could get is 39. So Kalaim is an Aveira for which one gets Malkas for, and therefore Hamanhig Sofik Asarabayim, one who leads the animals together, receives 40 lashes. And it could be that the person leading the animals is standing next to the animals, shouting at the animals to go. It could be that he's sitting in the wagon and hitting the animals. The point is, he's doing something to cause them to go, to cause them to do this work together, and therefore he has violated the avira of Kilei Vehema. And as well as that, Vahadyoshiv Bakoloin, the one who is sitting in the wagon, even if he is not leading the animals, Sofik Asarabayim, also would receive the 40 lashes. The reason being that the animals feel that there's somebody inside the wagon, and that causes them to go. So according to the Tanna Kamma, since he is causing the animals to do the work, even though he's not actually doing anything to cause them to go, he's not telling them to go or anything, since they do go as a result of him being there, he also has violated the Aveira and received lashes as a result. However, Rabbi Meir exempts him, because one can only receive lashes if he does something. And here, all he did was sit down. He didn't do anything directly to cause the animals to go. He didn't shout at them, he didn't prod them to go. He only indirectly caused them to go. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, he would not receive the lashes. And now the Mishnah adds on another halacha at the end, and we're talking about a situation where there are two animals of the same kind who are pulling a wagon. For example, let's say there are two horses pulling a wagon, and they're able to pull the wagon by themselves. But then, v'hashalishis shehi kashur l'ratzuos, a third animal, which is tied, not to the wagon, but to the straps which connect the horses to the wagon, if somebody adds a donkey, ties the donkey to the straps so that the donkey helps the horses to pull the wagon, so even though the donkey is not necessary, because the horse is managed without the donkey, and even though the donkey is not even connected to the same thing as the horses are connected to, because the horses are connected to the wagon, whereas the donkey is connected to the straps, nevertheless, asura, it's still forbidden because we still consider it to be the same work, and the donkey is sharing the work of the horses, and therefore that would also be forbidden. Mishnah Dalet, on a similar note, in Koshinus Asus, one cannot tie a horse loaded Sidide Akarain, neither to the sides of a wagon Vilo Acher Akarain, nor behind a wagon, which is being pulled by other animals. So let's say there are oxen who are pulling a wagon, and the owner wants to tie a horse onto the side of the wagon or even behind the wagon, because, for example, this horse might be training, it might be getting used to pulling a wagon, so the owner wants to just tie it so that it gets the feeling of the speed, for example. So even though he's not doing it so that the horse can help pull the wagon, it's nevertheless forbidden because there are times where the horse might lean against the wagon slightly, might give the wagon a little push, and therefore contribute to the movement of the wagon, which means that it is in a way working with the oxen, which would be forbidden. As well as that, v'lo saluv dekim lagamalim. One cannot work luvdakim with camels. You can't tie them up together to work together. And luvdakim are a type of donkey. However, they're more fierce than the general donkey. And as such, they are quite similar to camels. Nevertheless, they are still a donkey, and therefore it's considered a different species, so it will be forbidden to mix them and get them to work together. Rabbi Yehuda is going to spell out that which we learnt at the end of Mishnah Aleph, and that is Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol ha'nodim min ha'sus. Any mule who is born from a horse, and when we say born, we're referring to the one who gave birth to it, i.e. the mother. So any mule who is born from a female horse and a male donkey, afal pi shavi en chamer, even though their father is a donkey, mitom zeim zeh, are permitted with one another. So all mules whose mother is a horse can be mated and work together, and the same works the other way around. V'chinan anodim en chamer, those mules who are born from a female donkey, afal pi shavi en chsus, even though their father may be a horse, mutorim zeim zeh, they are permitted with one another, because we consider them the same type of species. It's the same type of mule. And you may have thought this should be forbidden. Because if you think about it, if you mate a mule with a mule, so the half of the mule which is a horse is being mated with the other mule who half is a donkey. Nevertheless, we do not view it like that. Rather, if they are the same type of mule, then they are considered the same type of animal, and therefore they can be mated and work together. However, says the Mishnah, Aval ha'nodim ha'sus, those mules who are born from a female horse, with a mule which was born from a female donkey, they will be forbidden to be mated or work together because they are considered totally different species. There's a discussion amongst the Mefarshim whether if a mule's mother is, let's say, a donkey, can it be mated with a pure donkey? If we go after the mother, then is this mule considered to be totally a donkey? Or is it still considered a mule? So that is discussed amongst the Mefarshim.